Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
As the Senate seeks ways to tap into energy locked into the ancient forests and landscapes that through time morphed into vast pockets of oil and natural gas, we look at another remnant of the ancient forests locked as rock in one of America's national parks. We head on out to Arizona and its petrified forests when we return here on the Wildside News. Nature works in mysterious ways, and when ancient trees fall and get preserved for us to see and admire now, it provides some spectacular continuity with the wonders of the world. Now we're talking with Lynn Carranza, who is the Chief of Interpretation at Petrified Forest National Park. And Lynn, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you. Well, happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Petrified Forest National Park is, I've been through that area. I haven't been to the park itself. Let's first of all let our listeners know where the park is located.
Well, we are located just east of Holbrook, Arizona on Interstate 40 at exit 311. So we're right on a main interstate, easy to find, and very easy to get into the park.
The park is actually a pretty good sized park.
It is. It's over 90,000 acres currently. And we just had a boundary expansion, and with the new authorized boundary, we more than double that size as the National Park Service is able to acquire those lands within the new authorized boundary.
Well, of course, Petrified Forest National Park features this extraordinary historic collection of, well, why don't you actually tell us what it is that people will find when they come to your park?
Initially, Petrified Forest National Park was set aside to preserve the petrified wood, which was fascinating to people because here were these huge trees. Clearly, these things were trees, but they were stone. But everyone could see that these giant things lying on the ground were at one time trees. So initially, the park was established as a national monument in 1906 to preserve the petrified wood. Over time, the park has expanded and included areas of great scenic beauty like the Painted Desert. And so there's a little bit of something for everybody in the park now. The park actually achieved national park status in 1962. The park preserves areas of not only the late Triassic paleontology, which is so fascinating, which includes the petrified wood and fossils of very interesting creatures that lived during the late Triassic, but the park also includes wonderful archaeological sites, ancestral Pueblo sites. We have some of the most wonderful petroglyphs in the world. We have scenic beauty, we have wilderness area that someone visiting the park could experience, wonderful vistas, and we're preserving a recovering remnant of shortgrass prairie in Arizona. So there's a little something for everybody here.
That really is quite an extraordinary panoply of opportunities. Let's talk about these trees, how they came to be, and then also when people come, what they're really going to experience in terms of seeing these ancient living things.
This area during the late Triassic was very different from what a visitor would experience today.
And help our listeners understand what that means, the late Triassic.
The late Triassic was 225 million years ago. It was just prior to the Jurassic, which many people are familiar with. Some of the fossils that are preserved in the layers of rock here are very strange crocodile-like creatures and amphibians and reptiles, and we are sort of the dawn of the dinosaur period during the late Triassic. So while we do have some early, early dinosaurs appearing in these rock layers, for the most part, we're pre-dinosaur.
Very interesting. Now, tell us what the environment would have been like then. What types of trees were these that make up the dominant forest that is now preserved in the park?
Well, these were evergreen trees, and very tall, probably 200 feet tall.
Wow.
The whole area was much wetter. It was much swampier. Of course, during the late Triassic, the Earth, all of the continents were together as one, called Pangaea. And this area here was located closer to the equator. So the climate was different. It was very wet, very humid. Large rivers flowed through here. And it was because of all the moisture and because of these large rivers that we had all of the conditions that allowed for the trees in certain areas to become petrified.
How does a tree become petrified? Because certainly not all trees have become petrified.
Right. Some of the trees, probably during flood conditions, were carried downstream. They became buried under sediments, and they were decomposing because of the moisture and some volcanic ash. They were decomposing without the benefit of a lot of oxygen. And so what was happening is silica in the water had a chance to replace some of the organic material in the tree. And so as this process continued, the trees then became stone, or they became petrified. So they're mostly silica. They're quartz. And you can actually see crystals within these logs.
Was this like a forest? Was it? I mean, was it literally a forest of trees, or were there more occasional trees? What's your vision of what this may have been like?
It was probably a forest with grasslands interspersed, and actually, I shouldn't even say grasslands, because at that time during the late Triassic, there were no flowering plants at that time. So,
wow.
Some interesting reed type plants and horse tails and very interesting plants growing here at that time too.
So you have samples of those types of plants that are fossilized as well?
Absolutely. Our visitor center at the south end of the park, called Rainbow Forest Museum, has exhibits of fossils, leaf fossils, cone fossils, along with the petrified wood and some of the animals that were found in the late Triassic.
So, for example, a person visiting could get a pretty good idea of what the diversity of life may have been like at that time.
Absolutely.
Now, you talked about trees being 200 feet tall. Can you actually see trees that represent that height in terms of the fossils?
Well, most of the petrified logs are just the trunks, just the lower trunks, the largest part of the tree. However, we have an area, a trail that visitors could walk called Long Logs Trail, where some of the longest fossilized trees can be seen.
Are you involved in the process of trying to discover more of these trees underground?
Actually, we don't have to dig to find these. They're exposed through erosion pretty regularly here. Erosion takes place every time it rains. The soils here are soft clays, and so fossils are regularly being exposed. We do have a paleontologist in the park, and we do have a number of researchers that study the park. We are finding an estimated 4 new species from the late Triassic every year.
Wow.
So research, science and research are big topics in this park, and we host a number of researchers.
Now, some of these trees really got pretty, very big at the base. Some of the diameters of these get to be quite extraordinary.
Yes. Maybe not like a redwood tree today or a sequoia, but they were large trees.
I mean, like 6 feet, 5 feet, something in diameter?
Probably more like 4 feet.
Okay. Now, they're also beautiful. One of the things about the petrified wood, of course, is the fact that you can actually, in many cases, discern the various rings and bark and things, so people can really see what these trees looked like.
I think the thing that makes our because petrified wood is found all over the world. It's found in every state in this country. It's very, very common here, but I think what really sets the petrified wood of northeastern Arizona apart is that it's colorful. And that's because of the quartz crystals that took the place of the organic material. We have some of the most colorful petrified wood in the world. We have very well-preserved trees. You can tell that it's a tree. You know, some petrified wood in some areas you can't always tell. You know, it would take a scientific eye to really determine what that stone was. But here it's clear to just about everybody who visits.
Now, you have an interpretive center.
At the north end of the park, the Painted Desert Visitor Center. We have a visitor center at the south end of the park, which is the Rainbow Forest Museum. And we also have a visitor contact area at the Painted Desert Inn, which is a historic landmark.
People who come to the visitor center, what types of things will they be able to see there?
Well, it depends on which visitor center they come to.
Mm-hmm.
At the south end, the emphasis is on the paleontology of the park. That's where people can experience the late Triassic. They can do a virtual tour of the Triassic there. They can watch the film about the park there. They can see plant fossils and animal fossils on exhibit there. At the north end of the park, we serve more as an orientation and information center, since that is right off of the interstate. We are also at the jumping off place to our wilderness. So at that end of the park, we focus more on the scenic beauty, the badlands, which we call Painted Desert.
People drive to this park because it is somewhat remote. What's the experience going to be like?
The park road is 28 miles in length from the north end to the south end of the park. Along the way, at the north end, there are several viewpoints of the Painted Desert, and the Painted Desert Inn, National Historic Landmark, is up there in the north end. Visitors can experience the beautiful rolling hills of the Painted Desert, the pink and red and wonderful colors of the Chinle Formation there. And they can also take the trail into wilderness. Now, we do allow camping in our wilderness areas. It is not a developed campground. There's no RV camping, for example. But it is the access area into the wilderness where people can do some wilderness camping. And then if you continue down the road heading south, Newspaper Rock and Puerco Pueblo are our premier archaeological sites where visitors can experience the petroglyphs, which to me are unequaled. They're just, this area is wonderful. It's wonderfully rich in petroglyphs.
And for people who may not know what a petroglyph is.
A petroglyph is a design that's been pecked into the rock. And we have a wonderful array of different designs, animal designs, kachina designs, human designs, textile designs even pecked into the rocks, geometric designs. And we have a number of solar calendars.
Hmm.
The people who lived here were agricultural, and so they needed to know when the right time would be to plant their crops and harvest their crops. And so we find a number of solar calendars. And in fact, in early June, every year, we do solar calendar programs at Puerco Pueblo.
Now, describe a solar calendar. That sounds interesting.
It's a spiral that's been pecked into the rock. And as the sun rises in the morning, it shines through a crack between two rocks, and a dagger of light then moves down towards the center of the petroglyph, the center of the spiral. and that marks the summer solstice.
Now, of course, this is a system that was used throughout the cultures at that time. For example, obviously, this would suggest that there was a definite communication between the people in Petrified National Park and the Chaco Canyon people, who had very similar kinds of sundials.
There was definite communication going on between the different peoples of the Southwest and into Mexico and over to the coast. And we know this because of the trade items that are found. We believe this area of that is petrified forest was significant because of the petrified wood.
Mm.
Petrified wood would be a great trade item because from the petrified wood you can make tools, arrow points, and so this was the main trade item that these people living here had. And we know that these people traded for pottery, they traded for shells from the coast.
How far do you find the petrified wood reaching out into the cultures around?
Petrified wood, as I said, has been found all over the country. There are people who are still using petrified wood today. It's still significant to them. The Hopi, just north of us, for example, have ties to the archaeological sites found here in the park.
Hmm.
And petrified wood is used by them ceremonially. So petrified wood is important to many cultures even today.
Mm-hmm. You also talk about the natural beauty of the park. Now, a lot of people think of Arizona as a pretty hot, you know, it is hot, but also not necessarily a spectacular area for vistas and things, and yet, quite honestly, there are extraordinary vistas in various areas of Arizona.
Absolutely. The geology is such that we get interesting features like mesas and buttes. The color of the landscape really sets it apart, with the pink and the red hills of the Painted Desert in the north, and then the blue and gray hills of the Badlands near Blue Mesa. There's quite the scenery here. I think one of the appealing things about Petrified Forest National Park is that many of the vistas and many of the features of the park are outside the experience of most Americans. They're oddities, and we have so many strange things, from the creatures that were found from the late Triassic to our strange landscapes. So it's well worth the trip. It's something that most people remember. It's a dramatic landscape and can be very inspiring.
Now, what are the best seasons to visit the park?
Well, I think any time of year is good in this area. We have, for the most part, good weather. It is hot in Arizona, you're right, but we are in the northeast corner of the state. We're a little over 5,000 feet in elevation. So compared to the big metropolitan areas like Phoenix, we are quite a bit cooler here. And in fact, a lot of people from the Phoenix area will visit to escape the heat in the summer. In the winter, we can get snow here. The Painted Desert is beautiful in the snow, well worth a trip just to see it in the snow. We don't normally have such severe winter conditions that it keeps people from traveling. Winter's a great time. A lot of people visit us in the fall, and you'll find the spring is great because of the wildflowers, although spring is usually a little bit windy.
You're a terrific spokesperson for this park. It seems to me that you have a personal love affair with this place.
Absolutely.
What personally is it that about the park that most affects you?
I love the wide open space. I love to stand at one of our viewpoints and see almost forever. I can stand at Potato Point and I can see the mountains near Flagstaff from here, almost 100 miles away. We have clean air, we have clear skies most of the time, we have good weather most of the time, wide open spaces, wonderful wildlife experiences on the short grass prairie, interesting landscapes, a wonderful paleontological record for science. So it's the whole package makes it worth being here for me.
Lynn Carranza, who we're talking with, who is the chief of interpretation. How long have you been at Petrified Forest National Park?
I've been here a little over 2 years.
Well, you've really, really connected with this place.
Yes, I have.
Was it a choice? Did you come there by choice?
I came here by choice.
Mm-hmm. Where had you been before?
The park that I'd been previous to Petrified Forest was Redwood National Park.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
On the coast. I've also worked at Carlsbad Caverns National Park,
mm-hmm.
Guadalupe Mountains National Park in Texas, Montezuma Castle National Monument, also in Arizona, and White Sands National Monument.
That's quite a legacy. But you are definitely, something is moving you about this park, I can tell. You really do enjoy it. Are you a bit of an artist or a photographer or something?
I guess I could say I'm a little bit of an artist, yes.
Okay, because you really do have a vision of this place, and you're very moved by that, and that comes across in everything you say. If people want to find out more information, what's the best way to do so?
Well, we have a good website at www.nps.gov/PEFO.
For Petrified Forest,
P-E-F-O.
Mm-hmm.
And there we have an in-depth section where a visitor could read about all of the different aspects of the park before they visit. We also have a section on there about planning your visit that will give you information that would help you if you're heading out this way. So I would start there, and then if you have any further questions, call the park for information. The number is 928-524-6228.
Lynn Carranza, Chief of Interpretation at Petrified Forest National Park. I want to thank you so much for sharing your spirit and your real love with this park and the national parks on the Wild Side News.
It was my pleasure.
As this show is being produced, the Senate continues to debate our energy future. As I finish the show, I am happy to announce that the Alexander Amendment to prohibit wind power within 20 miles of highly scenic areas has been defeated, 32-67. We must truly begin to pay attention, to get active, to take a stand for our future, for those to whom we have entrusted our future are dealing out cards and making bets on our future. This deck is marked, and there's too many jokers to play the game fairly. The game needs to change. Do what you can. This is Sidney Wildsmith, your host and producer. I thank each of you for tuning in. Please contact your friends and get them tuned in as well. Until next time, I wish you all a great week of summer-filled days when your voice of the earth will again speak truth to wonder each Thursday and every day on the archives here on the Wild Side News.